Torah tells us that when Yaakov gets to the Be'er and Rachel arrives, Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu v'chi ben yivkahu. So Yaakov tells Rachel that he, Yaakov, is her father's brother. So Rashi, quoting Chazal, said, what's ki achi aviyahu? First he says he can't mean the father's brother because it was her father's, it was the relationship between Lavan and Yaakov. Lavan was Yaakov's uncle, right? It was Rivka's. So Rashi says first Karov Lavia. Brothers means a Karov. And then he quotes Chazal that I'm his brother, meaning I'm his match. Umedrasho, im l'rama utuba, if he's going to try to deceive me. And the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Yaakov already proposes, so to speak, to Rachel at that spot. And Rachel says, I'm willing to accept, but you have to be careful about my father, because he's a Ramai, he could deceive you. What's the story? He says, I have a older sister, and maybe he's going to want to switch. So Yaakov's response is, I'm his match in Ramaut. I can take care of him. Chazal go on to tell us that when he makes a deal with, when Yaakov makes a deal with Laban to work for his daughter, so he says, I'm going to work b'Laban bitcha haktana. Why does he say b'Rachel bitcha haktana? He says, if I would say Rachel, so maybe he'll give me a different Rachel. And then if I say Berachel Bidcha, maybe he's going to switch Rachel and Leah's name, so do Shini Hashem. So then if I say Berachel Bidcha Ktana, so there can't be any misunderstanding who I'm talking about. Right? Yaakov has it all prepared. But then, he says that may not be enough. Maybe he's still going to want to pull a switch. So Yaakov has a foolproof plan. What's his foolproof plan? He gives a special code, special simanim to Rachel. And at the night of the wedding, right, they're going to use that secret code, and he'll know if she's really Rachel. It's foolproof. It can even outdo the deceivery of Lavan. Except for one thing. And that is, what happens if Rachel divulges the simanim to Leah, which is exactly what happens. And why does she do that? It tells us that Rachel said, what's going to happen? It's going to be this big wedding, fancy hotel, everybody's going to be there, in the town square, everybody's going to see, and in the middle of the wedding, they're going to be this opportunity for the secret code, and Leah won't know the code, and Yaakov will go, aha! And expose the fraud in front of everybody, and my sister Leah will be terribly, terribly embarrassed. How can I allow my sister to be embarrassed? So she gives Leah the simanim. And it's such tremendous chesed that Rachel does. We talked about this when we talked about gave the shiur klali about ayin hara, how the way to avoid ayin hara is to be a mivater, somebody who's always willing to help and to assist and to give in. And who is probably the biggest mivater in all of Chumash Bereishis? Maybe it's Rachel. She was willing to give up the chance to be married to Yaakov as being the only wife in order to protect her sister from embarrassment. Tremendous chesed on her part. It comes with Shalom Shvadran, famous Magid of Yerushalayim. And he says, is Rachel really such a big tzadekes? It's one thing to be a tzadekes when you're giving up your own. But what about what she did to Yaakov? He suffers. He wasn't interested in marrying Leah. He only wanted to marry Rachel. So it's really great and wonderful that you don't want your sister to be embarrassed. So if you want to give up your own things, that's one thing. But why should Yaakov, so to speak, have to suffer? Have to marry somebody who he didn't intend to marry? Because you want to do chesed, you want to do tzidkas. Do tzidkas, that's okay, give up your own things. But how could you do this to Yaakov? That's the question Reb Shalom Shvadran asks. And as a good Maggid, he answers the question with a story. But this time it's not only a story, but it's a story within a story. So if you're willing to listen to a story within a story, we'll start the story. Many years earlier, there was a famous Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Reb Yeshua Brim. And there was an Avreich, somebody had learned in the yeshiva, who had been close to Rav Brim. Nebach passed away a short time before Pesach. And he left behind an almana and some young children. And the almana didn't have family who lived in Yerushalayim. She didn't have her parents. And she was so worried what was going to be with the Seder. The Seder was coming up so soon after her husband passed away. What's going to be? Who's going to run the Seder? She doesn't feel like she can run a Seder. How's it going to be? Her husband always ran the Seder. So Abrim said, don't worry, I'll arrange something. And he found a bacher from the yeshiva who spoke to him and he said, listen, instead of being home, can you come and run the Seder for the Samana? And the bacher agreed. Davening was over the first night of Pesach. Rav Brim sends a message to his children. He said, listen, I'm going to be coming home a little bit late because I just want to check to make sure everything's going fine. Children go home. Tell the mother that the father's coming home a little bit late. And Rav Brim goes to the house of the Amana. And he gets to the house of the Amana and the bacher isn't there. And he waits. And he waits a little bit. The bacher is not showing up. And the almana is very distraught. She's breaking down. What's going to be? I promised my children the Seder. And nobody's here to say the Seder. What's going to be? What's going to be? Rav Brim said, not a problem. He says, we're going to have a Seder. And he sits down. And he starts running the Seder. And he takes his time. And explains to them what they have to do. And the children. And they ask the questions. And they ask the Manishtan. And Avodah Mayinu. And they sing the songs. And they go through the entire Seder from beginning to end. And he stays in the house for 2 hours plus, whatever it was. And he runs the Seder for the Amana and the children. And the Simcha that they had, comparatively, that unfortunately their father's no longer here, but that the Rosh Yeshiva himself was there for their Seder, is amazing. The Seder's over, and he wishes them a good yontif, and he leaves the house, and he hurries home. He gets to the house, his wife says, because what happened? He said, it'd be a bit late, it's 2-3 hours, what? He says, I'll explain everything. But we have to start the Seder quickly, because we have to get to the Afikoman by Chatzos. And he sits down, and he starts the Seder all over again. This time, I guess, he's eating, and he's drinking the kokosos. And he basically runs through the Seder. Remember, this is in Yerushalayim, there's only one Seder. He runs through the Seder and they get to the Afikomen by Chatzos. They eat the Afikomen and they said, no! So what happened? So he told them the story. He told them the story that there was an Amana and the Bacher was supposed to come and the Bacher didn't come. He didn't know what to do, so he ran the Seder for the Amana. So one of his children said, Tati, I understand that you want to do a big mitzvah. And I understand it was a big mitzvah. But it was a big mitzvah at our expense. We had this really quick Seder. We had prepared the Torah, and this and that, and it's so late, and that. We wanted to have a real Seder. So can you do a big mitzvah at our expense? So Rav Brim says, I want to tell you a story. Says, when I was a bocher, says Rav Brin, I was learning in Bnei Brak. And one day the Chazon Ish called in a few of the bachrim. I was one of them. And he was telling us about, there was an older bachur in the yeshiva who was having some difficulties with shiduchim. And he wanted us to try to work on shiduchim to help out this older bachur with shiduchim. And he gave us some suggestions, things we could do, say, whatever it was. So we decided to join forces together, try to figure out what to do. And Baruch Hashem, within a relatively short period of time, the bachur became engaged. So he went to the Chazon Ish, and they told him, you know, so-and-so is engaged. And the Chazon Ish was very happy. It's great. And he says, listen, he says, they're going to have a vort, they're going to have an engagement party, they're going to sign tonight. So I said, I want you to call me when they're ready to sign tonight, because he lived very close by. Call me when they're ready to sign tonight. I want to come to sign tonight, when they're signing the tonight. Wonderful. A few days later, there was an engagement party, the vort, whatever it is, and they're getting together. And they're coming close to the time of signing the tonight. And I told them, okay, everybody's going to wait. We're going to go now and get the Chazon Ish. He's set to call us when they're ready. Okay. So Abim and a couple of the other guys go to the Chazon Ish's house, knock on the door, they come in, and they see the Chazon Ish is talking to an elderly couple. Okay. And the door wasn't closed, and they heard the conversation. This elderly couple owned a store in Bnei Brak. And they were asking the Chazon Ish all sorts of questions about how to run the store. Should they sell this product? Should they sell that product? Should they put this thing on sale? Should they put that thing on sale? And for an hour, they're asking the Chazon Ish all these questions about how to run the store. And the Bachrim are going out of their minds. The Chazon Ish said to call them. They're waiting to sign the Tanaim. Good, it's going to rain. Right. And the Chazon Ish is as patient as anything with this couple. He said, another question, another, any more questions, more questions, more questions. Finally, after an hour, the couple leaves. As soon as the couple leaves, the Chazon Ish grabs his hat and says, quickly, let's go. So they're going to the thing. And the Chazon Ish said to them, I want to explain. This is an elderly couple, Nitzolei HaShoah, survivors from the Shoah. All they have really is this store. They don't have any family. That they come to me, I can't help them financially. If they think that I have brilliant financial advice, I'm not, I don't have such financial advice. But I can give them some hope, some support, some encouragement, make them feel a little good. That I can provide for them. So they need that. Nebacht, so I wanted to provide for them. So you'll come along, said the Chazon Ish, and ask, but what about us, and what about the bachur, and what about everybody waiting? Says the Chazon Ish, you think it's only my responsibility to help them? I'm the only one in Klal Yisrael who's responsible to help them? Everybody in Klal Yisrael is responsible to help them. Elama will say that you can give them some financial advice, and to a great extent, you can give words of encouragement, but it's not going to mean as much to them, as for some reason they think my words of encouragement are helpful. But if you want to participate in the mitzvah, you participate by waiting patiently for me to finish with them. So when you wait patiently for me to finish with them, in essence, you're participating in the mitzvah. You're allowing me to give them support, and thereby you're also helping them. That's your share in the mitzvah. That's the story that Rav Brin told his family. And he said, you think it's only my mitzvah to help the almana and the yisomim with the seder? It's everybody's mitzvah. It's your mitzvah as well. But because you waited patiently for me to come to the seder and were willing to have a very, very quick seder so that I can help the almana, then you're helping the almana and you're helping the yisomim. And you get just as much of a share in the mitzvah as I do because you're supporting my work. Says Reb Sholem Shvadran, whose concern was it that Leah shouldn't be embarrassed? That was only Rachel's responsibility, that Leah shouldn't be embarrassed. It's everybody's responsibility, including Yaakov's responsibility. it's his responsibility just as much as it was Rachel's to make sure that Leah wasn't going to be embarrassed. And therefore, when Rachel gave over the simanim to Leah, it wasn't at Yaakov's expense. On the contrary, she was giving Yaakov an opportunity to also participate in the mitzvah. So that a Bas Yisrael, not exactly Bas Yisrael, but that a young girl should not be, it's not nice to say Bas Lovan, it's so that the young woman shouldn't be embarrassed in public. Yaakov too was able to participate. And that, says Reb Shalom, is why Rachel was able to do what she did and wasn't considered to be at Yaakov's expense, but rather giving Yaakov an opportunity to participate as well. Now, sometimes we see situations which require response. And we say, this is a situation, her roommate should really help her out. Her teacher should really help her out. Her parents should really help her out. Right? Her siblings, the administrators, everybody should really help out this person. We have a long list of people that need to help out. And it may be all very true. But we shouldn't forget that there's one person to make sure that we put on the list. It's also my responsibility. I don't have to be a roommate, I don't have to be a sibling, I don't have to be a teacher, I don't have to be an administrator, I don't have to be somebody who's necessarily so close and so directly involved that it's my responsibility to help out. Because in essence, we have to take responsibility for everyone. And sometimes we can help out directly, and sometimes we can help out indirectly. Sometimes we can encourage people straightforward, and sometimes we just need to give encouragement to those who are close. But it's all our responsibility. And that is the message that Rachel taught Yaakov, the message that she continues to this very day to teach all of us.